James chapter 1, verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. In other words, I'm James. You're some of the Jews that got saved in the 12 tribes. Hi. That's verse 1. Verse 2, my brethren, get happy. when you get in tests and trials. I mean, that's usually not the way you just walk through somebody's door. Hi, how you doing? Hey, cheer up, man. Even when you're in tests and trials, cheer up. Is that the way you talk to your relatives when you go to Christmas? Or when you went to Thanksgiving a week or two ago, did you go in and you say, hi, I'm home. Good to see you. Hey, cheer up. What are you doing? I'm sad about tests and trials. Look at you. But James, he just gets right in on it, man. He doesn't wait around. No beating around the bush here. No political correctness here. No, make sure you compliment them 13 times before you address what's going on in their life. He says, no, hey, look at you. Look at your face. What's wrong with you? Cheer up. Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations. Other translations say when you encounter different kinds of tests and trials. Diverse means different kinds. There's different kinds. But they all come to rob your joy. They all come, whatever it is, they all come to rob your joy. And he's basically saying, regardless of what kind of test it is, they're going to come, whatever it is that comes, whether it be a marriage relationship, you know, relational test or financial or physical or, you know, mental or whatever. Whatever it is, it's going to come. One of the things it's going to always try to do is rob you of your joy. And so he's basically saying, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into these things or when you encounter these things. Now, how many of you know James is not saying we're sadistic? You know what sadistic means? It means to enjoy pain or trials. No, nobody enjoys these things. My flesh doesn't like it. My mind doesn't like it. I'd rather everybody love me all the time, and I'd rather always have bank accounts full of money, and I'd rather have, you know, no attacks against my body, and I just love it when Pastor Debbie likes me. You know, she doesn't just love me, she likes me. What are you laughing for? Oh, I knew I'd get that out of you. There's times, you know, there's stuff that I don't like to have to go through. Somebody said, what do you mean have to? Well, it's not that God puts it on you. I mean, remember Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. Now, none of us are believing for that. Lord, I'm believing for tribulation. No. Do I got red in my lips? I got to take it off. Anyway, I got it. But there's y'all are interrupting my sermon. Not good sermon. I'm Hallelujah. No, we don't enjoy it. None of our flesh enjoys it. We don't just jump up and down when we go through tests and trials. And we don't believe for them. Because the Bible said, Jesus said, count, when you enter into these tests and trials, he's basically saying, in this world you have tribulation means, he just told us why we go through things. Well, what did I do wrong? Maybe nothing. You're in the world, that's all. You're in the world. You're here. You're on the planet. The devil's here too. And you're going one direction. He's going the other. And you, bam, you run into him sometimes. Tests, trials, temptations, wanting to quit, whatever. You know, so it's not like you've done something wrong. Now, things can come into our lives because we have invited them. Because of either unbelief, lack of wisdom, whatever. But we're not, you know, nobody should ever think that that's the only reason. You got to be bold in the presence of God. And if you know of nothing that you have done, don't go there trying to work something up. Well, God, I must have missed it somewhere. Not automatically. You might not have done something wrong. You might have done something right. You know, and the devil just doesn't like it, you know. So, anyway, when you get to those places, there's one thing that you should always carry through any test or trial. When I say through, I mean all the way through. You go into it with it, you're in the middle of it, you have it, and then when you come out the other side, you have it, and that is your joy. Keep it intact. Anybody ever notice that Satan wants to rob you of your joy? You know? Now notice, count it all joy, brethren. Count it means put it to your account. I mean, right, mark it down. Right now I'm happy. Ha, ha, ha. And your feelings say, no, we're not. You say, shut up. I put it to my account. I'm happy right now. I'm joyful right now. And we just decide. It's a decision that we make. Not because of something that's going. In fact, it's in spite of whatever's going on. We just decide, I'm going to be joyful. And we're not talking about joy down in our heart. You know, there's an old song, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You know, well, what good's that going to do you? Just down in your heart. It's like I have love for you in my heart, but if I don't express it, it's not doing you any good. Right? So joy in my heart, you know, what's that song worth? Joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Well, we understand it's in our heart, but it's not really, it's like faith. Until you express it, it's not really doing you any good. Isn't that right? Things start moving forward when you start expressing joy. Because expressing joy is expressing faith. And faith is powerless in your heart. You ever thought about that? Faith really can't do anything for you in your heart. It's a little like love. Things move forward whenever you started telling that girl you loved her. Is that how it worked, Brother Juan? That's how it went? You were both real cool, like, hey, we don't want to. Until you started acting like, hey, you know. Then started moving forward, right? Is that how it worked, Noah? Oh, yeah. Is it still working? Yeah, good, all right. But see, that's the way, you got something in your heart, but until you express it, it's not going to, nothing's going to move forward. In the same way with joy. It's just a hard ride. It's just like it's grinding to get things to move forward. Well, put some oil of joy on those skids. I mean, the oil of joy, the Bible calls joy oil. You know, when you grease the skids, things move forward a little bit better. You know what I'm talking about? And so, I mean, if it's hard, if the Christian life is hard, if, you know, the tests and trials are making life hard and things are hard, that's because of a lack of oil on your skids. Amen. Already preaching good, even though I don't know where I'm going. Hallelujah. Count it all joy. He didn't say, wait for somebody else to make you joyful. You put it to your account. I'm joyful right now. Somebody said, well, so-and-so came to church sad. They must be going through a hard time. If we were word people, we'd say, so-and-so came through the door shouting. They must be having a hard time. Because they're counting it all joy. Counting it all joy. Praise the Lord. Well, look at him. He's running the aisles. He must be having a hard week or something, you know. Count it. Put it to your account. Yeah. Amen. So he's talking about doing this in trials or tests or trials. So what we know then about joy is expressing joy is an expression of defiance. Yeah. It's defying. It's saying to the devil, no, no. You're trying, but you're not going to pull this one off. Ha, ha, ha. You're trying to put me in the hole, like we were talking about Sunday, the hole of depression. You're trying to put me in this bondage of whatever test or trial is going on. But I'm not staying there. I'm coming up. It's like a beach ball. It gets, you know, I've said about pushing a beach ball down into the pool. It gets a chance, it's coming back up. That's the way you are, because something on the inside of you guarantees it. You got to be somebody that says, no, you can push me down if you want, but I'm coming back up. Ha, 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 ha. And it's really an expression of defiance. You're defying what you feel. You're defying what you see. You're defying what the devil's saying. You're defying the feelings of the flesh. Isn't that right? Why are you defying what you see? Because of what you know. Verse number 3, knowing this. Why do we rejoice? Because we love pain. We love when it's bad. We love to hurt. No, we're not sadistic. Well, there is no joy in the trial. I mean, because of it. We don't get any joy out of it, in other words. There's no joy there. So we look somewhere else for it. That's a big key. A lot of Christians would move, they would lurch forward spiritually if they start looking somewhere else for their joy. Start looking somewhere else than the way people treat them, what people think of them, what's going on in their life, you know, how well the money's coming in or whatever. If they start looking somewhere else, that's legal. You can do that. In fact, we're told to here. Look, go somewhere else. Go to what you know. Go to what we know. What do we know? Well, we know the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. And really, you're saying to the devil, whenever you laugh, according to these verses, you're really saying to the devil that you know that he's a liar. What do we know? We know we always triumph. We know we're already delivered. We know Christ, you know, he's that we're more than conquerors. We know that we always triumph. We know all these things. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. We know he'll never leave us nor forsake us. You know, we know that God cannot lie. Remember, the Bible said God can't lie. I mean, if he's given us a covenant word, some of them are promises, but the rest of them are covenant be-its. You know, remember, you know, all the promises of God are in him, yes and amen. Amen means so be it. So there's a lot of things in the Word that are already true, but they don't look like it in our lives. But when we know the Word, and we're more focused on that, we just go ha, ha, ha to what the devil's saying. We know he's a liar. Amen. And by the way, he's a liar no matter how many times he says it. And he's a liar no matter who he's using to say it. Amen. And so what you're doing when you count it all joy in the middle of that, because of what you know, you're determined to have what you know, not give in to what it looks like. You realize that's what you're doing? Whenever you're defying this thing, that's this test or this trial, and you're counting it all joy, you're basically saying, I'm determined to have it the way I know God said it is mine. I'm determined to have it that way and not the way it feels like it's going. I got a determination on the inside of me. How many of you know you gotta decide how it's going to be? Blind Bartimaeus, he's sitting by the road, and he heard Jesus was going by. He cried out and said, Jesus, have mercy. He decided, it's going to be different in my life right now. You got to decide. There has to come a place you decide, okay, I'm not living in this hole anymore. It's like we were talking about Sunday morning. I'm not living here anymore. I'm not living there. I'm just not doing it. I'm just not doing it. And you got to get mean on it. Not on people, not on God. You know, he's not holding out on you. You don't have to wrestle him. You don't have to argue with him. You know, why aren't you doing this for me? No, it's on our side. But I'm talking about mean on it staying the way it is. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not living in this hole anymore. I'm just, no, no. And you get a spirit of faith about you. You realize there's a difference between knowing the Bible and actually getting bold and acting on it? Yes, sir. Yes. Come on. You got to get to the place where it's not just something written in the Bible, but it's something that you boldly are acting on. Isn't that right? And you're defying the way it's always been. Amen. Hallelujah. So you're determined to have something different. You're saying, no, I'm not going to give in to this temptation. Notice he said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. But Pastor, this thing's been, you know, trying to get into my life for years. Don't give in. Don't give in. Keep saying, no, I'm not going there. If you find yourself in it, get back up and say, ha, 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 ha. No. If you wake up in the middle of the night and the thoughts are bombarding your mind, you go, nope, not going there anymore. I'm not living this worried, fearful life or whatever's bombarding you, this life of condemnation or whatever. I'm not tolerating a sick body. I'm not tolerating, you know, strife in my life or my relationships. I'm not tolerating. I'm just not living that way anymore. Takes two to fight, you know. When it comes to strife, when you say, I'm not tolerating it, basically you're saying, I'm not doing this anymore. Right. If they're going to do that, that's them. But I'm not doing this anymore. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Everybody still glad you came? You got to decide you're going to have, when it comes to finances, you're going to have something other than bottom of the barrel living. Amen. Meaning, you know, we got enough for the end of the month. Amen. Praise the Lord. That went over like... Amen. Paul said, go to Philippians chapter number 3. He said something here that I was meditating, and it's just so rich. There's so many applications of this. He talked about his Jewish pedigree and... The third chapter of Philippians, he talks about the confidence he could have in the flesh if he wanted to. Verse number 5, circumcised the eighth day. In other words, he was it as far as a Jew. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Man, they're the top. They're the really, really, you know, serious Hebrews. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. I mean, he's really on it. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Whoa. That's arrogant. Man, he's it. But he said, look at verse 7. What things were gained to me, I count but loss for Christ. One translation says, I believe it's the Amplified, I count all those things but loss. Next verse says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I mean, he threw everything that made him somebody down here in this earth amongst all the Jewish people. He said, when I realized the Amplified says, the supreme advantage of knowing him, he said, I threw it all aside. Didn't mean a thing to me. It's nothing more than a dung heap. It has no value to me anymore. What on earth, Paul, did you come across that made you throw away all that made you somebody in this life? He said, I wanted to know him. I wanted to know him. And to know him, I had to let go of all that. You know, some people have given up some things, but really, they didn't give up anything. They gained amazing things. Besides that, God will make up all these things. The Bible said there's no man's left houses, lands, mother, father, so forth and so on. He'll not receive in this time 100-fold. So a lot of people say, I'm giving up something. No. You're gaining a whole lot of something. But he said, I wanted to know him. The Amplified says, the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And there's a whole lot there in the Amplified. But he said, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, verse number 9, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is by faith through Christ. Then keep on going, that I may know him. And said it again. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. He's talking about crucifying the old man. if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. There's a whole lot here more than I can get into. The Lord was opening this up to me the other day. But I want to follow on to apprehend that for which I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. How many of you know none of us have gotten a hold of everything that God has for us? Whether it be knowing Him, there's still more. We can know Him better. We can learn to pray and fellowship with Him in a greater, successful way. We can learn to know how to follow the Holy Ghost better. We can learn to walk by faith better. We can get better at spiritual things. To get better at spiritual things, you gotta want it. Even to the point of throwing some other things away. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so he's saying, I'm going after what I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus for. I'm going to apprehend what he apprehended me for. I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, there's still more ahead for me. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. There's a big one. Forgetting what's behind. What's in the past is worthy of forgetting. Even if it was good. Because what's coming is better than what was behind you. One thing, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Notice, I press, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. The high calling. The one translation says the call to come up. Woo! How about come up out of depression, come up into joy?
Amen. Yes, sir.
It takes a press. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So really, when you are not just saying, I'm believing God and sitting back and waiting, but you believe God and rejoice. Now you have added a press to your faith. Now you're not sitting back on the laurels of your faith. Come on. Now you're moving forward and pressing in faith. Now it's not a passive faith. You've got some faith chops now. You know what I'm talking about? You're moving. You're pressing. You're not just, you know, waiting for God to do something. I'm believing God. Well, when was the last time you just had a shout and danced all around your house about it? That's whenever you're pressing in faith. Amen. Tell your neighbor, we don't want to just sit back on faith. We want to press in faith. Yeah. And rejoicing is pressing. Hallelujah. Not just sit back. Somebody says, how are you doing? Well, I'm believing God. And that's the first time you said it since they asked you last time. I'm believing God. Well, there's not much press to that. There's a lot of things that need to be added to faith. One of them is perseverance. James actually talked about that. Remember, he said, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. That means perseverance. But let perseverance have its perfect work. You'll be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What is perseverance? Sitting back and waiting? No. Perseverance is pressing in faith. Pressing. It's faith that decides, I'm going to rejoice right now. I'm going to act like I got it right now. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! I'm going to get up out of this depression hole right now. When you wake up in the nighttime and the thoughts are bombarding your mind, let's say you don't want to wake up your spouse, you get out of bed and you go over into that bedroom, the other bedroom, and you go in there and you go, you're defying something, and you're pressing in faith. That's what James 1's talking about. Count it all joy. Press towards the mark. Your faith needs to have a press to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of things that have to come along with faith, like I said. Perseverance. Well, I rejoiced back whenever I believed I received. Okay. But okay, Brother Juan, did she say yes the first time you asked her out on a date? Huh? She did? No. No, she didn't. Well, what? She sort of did, huh? But anybody ever had wanted a date before you're married? Now, if you're married, now I'm not talking about you now, but you wanted a date and she didn't want to go out with you. You had to press. Isn't that right? Okay, here's an example right here, huh? Okay, wait. Who? Both of you. Forget both of you. Probably both of you. Cameron and Brother Andre probably had to both press. Amen. You had to press. You told us your story. We should all hear that right now. That was a good story. Ann wanted nothing to do with it. So Brother Carlos had to press. He's glad he did, man. Hallelujah. So, but he had faith because God had spoken to him. I remember him. You need to ask him about his story. It's real insight into their relationship. It's real insight. Yeah, you got to ask Ann's side. Because then you'll get the full picture, you know. But there's things that had to go. God spoke to him. Wasn't it? Yeah, it was you. God spoke to him. And he had a period of time. It was a couple of years. 2 years. That he had to stand. To get the prize. But see, God had spoken to him. Now, sometimes people say God spoke to him and he didn't. But if he really did, then you don't just believe God. You don't just sit back and believe God. You press. Isn't that right? He worked it. Yep, he worked it. We'll do this in groups first, you know. Anyway, you need to ask them their story. But there's things that have to go along with faith. And joy is one of these things. When it comes to faith, don't tell me you're believing God and you're not saying anything about it. You're not confessing it. You're not speaking it. You're not joyful about it. Don't fool yourself. Amen. Romans 15:13 says, "The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Notice joy and peace go along with believing. They're triplets. They're joined at the hip. You find one, you'll find the other.
Yes, sir.
Siamese twins or triplets or whatever. They just go along with each other. There's no such thing as a depressed person in faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha ha. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is your name Cameron Kaufman?
Yes.
Oh, okay, there you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Glory. Ha ha ha.
Making memories.
Yeah. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. You know, when you do this, you're starting to drink of the new wine, you know. Mm. Some people's faith would be working if they would use it. You know what I mean? Express it. Well, I don't know if God's telling me to do something or not. Just do it. Ha ha ha. You can have something in your heart, and then until you're drunk, you're not bold enough to do it. I heard a guy the other day said that alcohol is called liquid confidence. I thought, that'll preach. Not the alcohol, but the new wine. Liquid confidence. You can have the faith in your heart to do something, but you don't have the boldness to do it until you get drunk. And then all inhibitions are thrown aside. And that's when people's faith starts really working. Ha ha ha. We got a drunk on aisle 3. Clean up on aisle 4. Woo, glory. Ha 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 Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. How about over here? Hey! Glory! Yeah! Ha, 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 ha